The food science building at the University of Arkansas Agri Park looks much like its neighboring buildings, gray in color with a few neutral bricks. Inside, however, big things are happening. A small corner of the large building houses the Arkansas Food Innovation Center, the only one of its kind in the state. The small-scale facility is regulated by the FDA and aids to advance the value-added food industry by assisting with the startup of new food processing businesses by providing help through product development, providing kitchen space, to sales tips. Since opening in December of 2012, the center has helped countless businesses get started. A couple to note are the baby food maker Oh Baby Foods and Pink House Alchemy, both of which we have reported on here on Ozarks at Large. Today, there are around 30 groups and individuals who use these facilities to prepare, test, and label their products in preparation for sale. After donning a hairnet, I make my way into the kitchen of the Innovation Center, where Lynn and Gina Roberts of Roberts Family Farm in Westport were preparing Gina's salsa. Gina has been making and selling the spicy sauce to friends and family since 2007. Last year, the Roberts saw an opportunity to expand through the Fayetteville Farmers Market, though the market requires all products sold there to be processed in an USDA inspected and approved kitchen, which is what led them here. Each Tuesday morning, beginning at 7, the Roberts carry in the necessary ingredients and start making salsa. The recipe, however, got a much earlier start, beginning with notes from Gina's grandmother.
So I kind of combined a lot of different things and put them together and then worked on each batch to create my own, to get my own, what I wanted in it and the taste of it. So
how long did it take to develop your recipe?
About 2 years to get what just the exact amount of everything that we wanted. And so the first batch, because we used different types of peppers and I was experimenting with different peppers, and one of my batches I did for a kind of a contest, I used bell peppers, and I will never do that again. It just did not make that, it didn't have the same taste as the hotter peppers do.
The Roberts try to grow all of the peppers they use in their family garden, from the serrano and jalapenos to the Tobago pepper, which Gina says has a habanero taste. Peppers that they aren't able to grow themselves, they buy locally from other farmers at the market or from a Hispanic grocery store in Springdale. The Roberts make a hot, medium, and mild salsa. Lynn says the level of spiciness depends on each individual pepper.
What we do, we can't set it up because all peppers are different. We make a batch, we taste it, and then label it. But we try to know what we're going to make. It doesn't always work that way. And I grow a jalapeno that's hotter than the serrano, but we don't have any right now.
As tomatoes are the main ingredient in salsa and each batch requires many, they use canned tomatoes as they're not able to grow or acquire enough locally. Three large industrial-sized cans go into each batch. Each batch, one case, or 12 to 13 pints. Today, they are making 8 batches, and cans of tomatoes on the counter bear the numbers of the batch they will be making. The U of A Center supplies many of the necessary pieces of equipment, but Gina brings in her personal food processor to chop the tomatoes. A longtime fan of national brand Pace Picante sauce, that is the consistency Gina is going for. The U of A sometimes supplies interns, and on this particular Tuesday, one is helping to chop the tomatoes, using a gloved hand to pull one at a time from the large cans and drop them into the processor. It's a messy job, and so she wears a disposable jacket to protect her clothes from red splatter. The chopped tomatoes go into a bowl with the other ingredients, properly measured by Gina ahead of time.
We have peppers and onions, and we chop those. And then we have tomatoes and then our seasoning for it. And that's basically it. It's just onions, peppers, garlic is one. And I usually chop the onions, then I chop the peppers, and then we add the spices, and then the tomatoes. And we use approximately 3 cans of tomatoes per batch, and then the spices equal out the spices of what for each batch. And that's pretty much it.
Spices include cumin and chili powder. Each batch goes into its own large silver pot. And makes its way to the stove to boil for 30 minutes. Many homemade sauces never hit the heat, but in order to jar it, Gina says it has to be processed in this way. About 6 pots rest on the stovetop at various stages of the process, making their way around the stove as they advance through. When each has reached its time, Lynn dumps in a package of Sure Gel, which will thicken the salsa as well as provide the natural preservative citric acid. Part of the service provided by the UA Center is assistance with labeling. All ingredients are listed as well as nutrition facts, identical to those seen on other products found in a store. The U of A also helps with testing for the pH levels of acidified foods like salsa. Lynn relies on their help for now, but hopes to learn how to do it himself. A pH level below 4 means that microorganisms won't be able to grow on the product and is therefore safe for public sale and consumption. Once the Sure Gel has boiled the appropriate 2 minutes, the pot of salsa is removed from the heat using plastic, not cloth, because cloth can carry bacteria, and placed on the table for jarring. Gina shows one intern how to use a spoon and wide funnel to fill each pint-sized jar, leaving just a little room at the top.
They have a machine out there that we could run it through to fill the jar, but I'm afraid there again that it's going to squash it and make it smaller pieces because it's real fine.
The jars are then wiped down and lidded. Gina remembers her mother and father canning as she grew up, and she says it's something she's always done with vegetables from their garden. Once filled, the jars must get a bath in boiling water for 15 minutes, and then they're ready for labeling and sale. Consumers can find Gina's salsa on the shelves at the Harps in West Fork and at the Saturday Farmers Market in Fayetteville. The 8 batches they made today are more than their typical 6 in preparation for a busy day this week.
The first market, the opening market, he wasn't thinking that we needed to take very much. And he said 3 cases. And I said, no. This is where it's going to go. If we sell it, this is where it's going to sell. And I said, at least take 3 of each. Well, we sold out. We sold out before 2 o'clock, so that was a good sign.
The Arkansas Food Innovation Center is a fan of startups, and so the Roberts have been able to process here for no charge since last August. This month, however, they must start paying a fee, which is quite small in comparison to other options. You'll find Gina's salsa in the food court portion of the farmer's market, meaning the main ingredient in their product is not produced by them. You'll know it's Gina's salsa by the picture of Gina wearing overalls and a sombrero on the label. It's drawn by the Roberts' daughter. Gina also makes tote bags and aprons, which can also be purchased at the market. This is Ozarks at Large.